which Christ has made us free. We have the scripture on the wall. I'd encourage you to open your Bibles. If you don't have one, you got the scripture right there. I think this is the New King James, but maybe it is. But that will boost us, if you will. It'll help looking at the old and the new. I use both. But up here we'll have the new, so it'll give you a little splash of a different word maybe in certain areas that might help. But the Lord showed me that anything that's not faith in Christ becomes a law. Amen. Anything at all that's not faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because that's where the work was completed, on the cross, becomes a law. Now, it doesn't sound like it would. It doesn't, you know, in our natural minds, it wouldn't seem that way. But it does boil down to that. Because everything that God has given us is all by promise. It's all by covenant. It's all as we exhibit faith. His grace was given to us as we keep our faith. You know, in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, you could go there, Matt. It says, "For by grace you have been saved." You know, we like to use that scripture for the unbeliever, for the Catholic. But it's written to the church at Ephesus. And it says, "For by grace you have been saved," past tense, "through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast." Lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. So this faith walk that we're in produces liberty. Let's go back to Galatians 5:1. Let's look at it before we pray. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." We're either going to live in liberty with freedom in Christ, or we're going to be yoked in bondage of the law. Because this entire book of Galatians, chapters 1, ending in the end of chapter 4, is straining, if you will. Brother Schweigert likes to use that word. I like it too. We're straining towards Galatians 5:1. You know, the whole thing is like, you know, getting to right here. Okay, brothers and sisters? Now stand fast in that liberty. Don't go back to the law. It says again. You see that word? Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And that yoke of bondage is the law. The next verse says, "Indeed, I, Paul, say to you, if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing." So we're talking about law, the law of circumcision. Any law will put us back under bondage. Amen? Amen. So what I want to look at today is the liberty we have in Christ and where, and when the law came. What was it for? What is it? Why was it given? Who's it for? And when is it for? The four W's. What, why, who, and when was the law given? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that is the true teacher. We ask you, Lord, to open our ears, open our eyes to what the Spirit of God would say today. We ask you, Lord, to just rightly divide this word so we can leave here not like we came, Father. We ask you to do this so we can walk in liberty and we can have freedom by faith in you alone and understand what law is and what the purpose of the law was and why you gave it and where it was given and how and Lord, who it's for, Lord God. We thank you that we can receive this from the Word of God today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the word law in the Greek is nomos. And it's N-O-M-O-S. Okay? And it means anything. All right? That's anything. Received. By custom okay, anything received by custom or established, you could say in our life, okay? But here's the important thing to remember about this. It's genitive, not possessive. And that's fancy words I've learned that means it can be from God, it can be from man, or it can be from ourselves. We are men and women. So it's genitive, not possessive. It's not just strictly connected to the Ten Commandments, although, of course, the Ten Commandments are the law. The ceremonial law, of course, is the law. But then we have many laws that we make for ourselves. So we can be yoked to the law, to bondage, by programs of men that become laws in our life. What I want to focus on this morning, this afternoon, is the law of God, the Ten Commandments, the ceremonial law, why it was given, who it was given to. And let's start with when it was given. All right, when was it given? The children of Israel were given. Let's back up to get to Galatians 5 and look at Galatians 3. And I want to start in verse 6. We'll get back to verses 1 through 5 a little bit in a minute. But Galatians 3 through chapter 3, verse 6, and we're going to move towards Galatians 5 now. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, simple faith, and he was accounted righteous. He simply believed God. Now, Abraham was before the law, amen? He's before the law. So we're getting it. We're going to get to when the law was given. Right now we're heading to when the law, the Ten Commandments in particular, were given. Verse 7, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. We are sons of Abraham by promise. Everything was given to Abraham by promise. It was nothing to do with the law. God called him out of the Ur of Chaldees, and he gave him a promise. He gave him a covenant, and we're going to see that covenant right now. Verse 8 says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand. Notice, God preached the gospel to Abraham. There's only one gospel, and that is the Messiah would come. The Messiah would take the price for our sin. The Messiah would shed his life's blood. That's the gospel. How much of the gospel did God give to Abraham? Well, he gave him enough that he believed him. He believed that it was going to be out of his lineage. He believed that he was going to be used of God in that area, and that the seed, that Jesus, would come from him. So, and that was accounted for righteousness. So he was righteous before a holy God. Even when he had a problem with sin, even when he disobeyed, by simple faith. Okay, even when he sinned. Amen? And he says, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So not only did he give him the gospel, he told him how this was going to come about. It's going to come about from your loins, Abraham. This gospel, this good news of my son coming to pay the price for the Gentiles, that's us, is going to come from you, Abraham. And then he says, verse 9, then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So we have the same faith as Abraham. Amen? Amen. You understand? We're not different than they were. I mean, we have a better covenant. Don't get me wrong. We have Christ and him crucified. But they believed in the Messiah to come. We look back to the Messiah that came. So the promise, the covenant, it's really the same. It's all by faith. It's never changed. The gospel, the good news. Let me stay there just for a minute. Look at Adam. He sinned in the garden. All right? He knows he's naked. Now, this is new for me and it's going to be new for you a little bit. So just stay with me. Let me just develop this. He knew he was naked, right? He knew he sinned. Right? He's sowing fig leaves. He's trying to cover himself. Law hadn't been given yet. So he knows he's a sinner. And what does God do? In Genesis 3:21, we see God come down in the garden and take the life of an innocent animal to get the skin to cover Adam's nakedness. That's the good news for Adam. That's the good news, that an innocent animal would have to die right in the Garden of Eden. The sacrifice began that would point to the faith necessary and required to be righteous. The promise. You know, we don't know if Adam made it. We don't know if he, but I believe he received the skin. And I know he told Cain and Abel. He told Cain and Abel. There's no record that Adam made it. I don't know. You know, a lot of people don't think he did. That's, I don't know. But the gospel, the good news was that he didn't have to die. Of course, he died spiritually, separation from God. But the good news, the gospel that we're talking about, was faith in the sacrifice of the animal, and then the skin would be applied to him to cover his nakedness, to cover his sin, instead of him having to die. So that was the gospel. And we see that throughout. You know, here's what I want to say. That would have been a good time for God to give the Ten Commandments. Cain, he offers up his fruit, the fruit of his labor. God says, no, won't you do what's right? Your brother Abel's offered the more excellent sacrifice, the shed blood of the lamb. Cain offered up his works. He didn't go by faith. He didn't trust God. God gave him another chance and said, won't you do what's right? He wouldn't do it. Now Cain goes and kills his brother. He murdered. He became the first murderer. That would have been a good time to give the Ten Commandments, right? Thou shalt not kill. But he didn't do that. Noah, the world was wicked. It was a mess. In Genesis 6, we see the wickedness of man coming up before God continually, and it was just terrible. But God saved Noah and his family, told him to build an ark, a type of Christ, a wooden ark, a type of the cross. Get in the ark. Get in Christ. Get in the ark. And be lifted up above the destruction, a type of our salvation. And on the waters for over a year, when you add it all up, 14 months before he'd come off the ark. And 8 people got off that ark. That would have been a good time to give the Ten Commandments. Right? God doesn't want to give the Ten Commandments. He wants us to believe him. He wants us to just have faith and trust him. He doesn't want it to be by law. The law wasn't given so we could keep the law. Okay. Anybody here kept the law? Anybody here not sinned in the last 2 months? All right, 2 weeks. 2 days. No. Look it. We're not law keepers except faith in Christ. He's our law keeper. He fulfilled the law for us. He's the one that took care of the law. We can't keep the law. But Noah gets off the ark, and that would have been the perfect time to chisel out the Ten Commandments and say, this is how you're going to have to live for me now. But he didn't do that. He wants us to believe him. He wants us to trust him. Then he calls Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees. Well, he calls him out, and he's going to make nations out of him. We're descendants of him, actually. And that would have been the perfect time to say, okay, Abraham and your family, here's the Ten Commandments. Here's the law. But he doesn't do it then either. He makes a covenant by promise with Abraham that if you'll believe me, it will be counted to you for righteousness. No law has been given. He hasn't even thought about the law. But let me say this. Take 2 Jewish people back then, before the law, Amos and Jeremiah. Amos crosses Jeremiah's wall one night and steals his chicken. Comes back because he's hungry and eats the chicken. Does he know he sinned? Yeah. Does he know he stole? Yeah. Does he know he's not supposed to do that? Yes, he does. He knows sin. He understands that he did wrong. But there's no impact. We're going to see this in a few minutes. Well, let's go there for a second to Romans 5:13. Just one scripture. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Without the law, he doesn't know. He knows he's sinning against Jeremiah, but he doesn't know he's sinning against the Holy God. He doesn't understand what he's doing. You got me? So Abraham believes God, and it's accounted to him for righteousness, and we are blessed with believing Abraham. Now let's go back to Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. The works of the law are under the curse. This is the Apostle Paul, as the Holy Spirit is straining towards Galatians 5:1, was telling us to stand fast in the liberty which we have in Christ and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, which is law. He's telling us, as many as of are the works of the law are under the curse. That word curse in the Greek is a, let me read it to you. It's divine vengeance. Okay? It's divine vengeance. I had it somewhere. There it is. Oh boy, it's a long word. It's eat. I'll write it down on the board, all right? You might want to look at this on your own time. I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. It means exposed to divine vengeance. Okay? All right. I mean, I don't want to be cursed. I don't want to be exposed to divine vengeance. Do you? Amen. So, we have verse 10, as many as are under the law are under the curse. For cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things of the law to do them. If we're guilty at one point of the law, we're guilty at all points of the law. What law? Well, in this case, we're talking Ten Commandments. But it's any law. If we make a law for ourselves, we're going back to a different covenant. We have the covenant by promise. Amen? The covenant by promise. Okay, stay with me. Let's go to verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Justification. Declared not guilty, but more than not guilty, innocent. But more than innocent, just as if I never sinned. We are justified by faith. When God looks down at us, if our faith is in Christ, we are declared innocent of all charges, past, present, and even future. But if we go to a law, if we try and justify ourselves, we are going to be cursed. We are going to be exposed to the divine vengeance of God. It's sobering, isn't it? Anything that's not faith in Christ crucified is a law. Anything. I mean, I could give you my own testimony about going to a prayer meeting every Saturday night for a whole year and then didn't want to go after a year at all. But thought that I was righteous by going to the prayer meeting. Thought that I was justified by what I did. I had made a law out of going to the prayer meeting. Prayer meetings are good. I go to prayer meetings today. But not for righteousness. I really was putting myself under the vengeance, divine vengeance of God. I was coming out from the covenant. We'll get there in a minute. So the just shall live by faith, not faith in my prayer meeting. Faith in Christ and him crucified. Jesus is in heaven right now. Amen. Seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. His actual presence in heaven makes intercession for us. He's not saying, oh, Dan sinned, please forgive him, Father. No, his very presence is making intercession for me. Let me take a shot over here at Colossians for 1 second. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Hallelujah. Everything in Christ. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Hallelujah. He made peace for us through the blood of his cross. Verse 21. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, that was us, yet now he is reconciled. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, talking about the cross, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. We are holy and blameless and above reproach in the sight of a holy God through the blood of his cross, through his death of his body on the cross. Verse 23, if, oh, there's a condition here, if we don't sin. No, if we go to church, if we continue with the prayer meeting and read the Bible every day. No, if we continue in the faith, definite article, one faith and one faith only, the faith of the cross. The faith of what Jesus did on the cross. Of course, the Holy Spirit, when he says the cross, is talking about what Jesus did on the cross. He's not talking about a wooden beam or an idol around our neck. He's talking about what Jesus did on the cross. In every instance of the Bible, when the Holy Spirit puts the word cross, he's talking about the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Amen? We got to understand that. People are stumbling over that foolish thing. But no, we are blameless and holy if we continue in the faith. Hallelujah. Okay, back to Galatians 3:12. Yet the law is not of faith. Hello? If we try and live by law, we're going to be cursed. Any law, anything established, any custom, anything, we're going to be cursed. But the man who does them shall live by them. And we can't. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. He has redeemed us. He has bought us back. He has ransomed us. He has gone to the cross and paid the price. And he has shed his blood so we are no longer under the curse. We are no longer cursed. We are children of God by promise, of covenant, by faith, and faith alone. Hallelujah. Faith alone redeemed us. It's payment of a price to recover from the power of another. He rescued us from divine vengeance by going to the cross, and the cross was that payment that redeemed us. That was the payment that redeemed us. Thank God for the miracles of Jesus. Yes. And he still does them today. Yes. But they didn't redeem us. Right. Thank God for his fasting 40 days and the sinless life and the virgin birth. Thank God for the resurrection. It declared and proved that he was the Son of God with power. The power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 1:4 says. But it was the cross where he defeated the devil. It was the cross where he defeated sin. It was the cross where he redeemed me. And ransomed us. That's when he said, it is finished. That's when the veil in the temple rent in two. Everything points to the cross. Everything in the entire Bible shows us that. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's my Jesus. That's your Jesus. That's what he did. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. The blessing of Abraham came upon us in Christ. Are you with me? This is the same promise. This is not a, it's yes, it's a new covenant. and a better covenant because Christ has now come, but it's not different for us than it was for them. We still are redeemed and delivered from the cursed, from the curse by faith. Amen. Faith alone. Okay, we're going somewhere here now. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise of the Holy Spirit. That word promise in the Greek is epanagi. I'm not going to say it again. An announcement or pledge, especially a divine assurance of good. A divine assurance. It's an announcement or pledge by God. It's a promise. It's not like you and I make a promise and then, well, we just, you know, I couldn't quite get there. Sorry, I'm late. But no, when God makes a promise, it's done. It's done. And Abraham believed God and was accounted for righteousness because God promised it. He was under the covenant of promise. No law had been given yet. We're getting there, though. We're getting to that law. Verse 15. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. He's just making the point that even men have covenants. And even a man's contract can't be annulled. But we're talking about God's covenant. We're talking about the covenant of God. A solemn disposition, an institution or appointment of God to man. The covenant. Verse 15 says, a covenant. It's not the idea that God owes us something. He promised us by covenant we would be righteous by faith alone. Amen?
Yes.
Okay, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed, that's a capital S in the New King James. They capitalize deity. That's the seed where the promise made. That's the Lord. That's Jesus. Now to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made, he does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. So he believed God, he believed in the seed, he believed in the Messiah, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He's under the covenant of promise of righteousness by faith alone. Let me say it again, are you there? He is under the covenant of promise by faith in the seed to come. Hallelujah. That's it. When he messes up, he's still righteous because his faith is in the seed to come. When we mess up, brothers and sisters, when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ the righteous. We have liberty. We're free. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If I yell at my wife, what did you do? I can't believe you did that again. Oh, man. And I have an outburst of wrath. And I have a heart attack when I'm yelling at her and I die. Am I going to heaven?
Yes.
You better hope I am. Or hell's going to be pretty full. No, my faith is still in Christ. I'm still redeemed and delivered from the curse by faith alone. Not if I don't sin. God forbid I sin. I don't want to sin. I haven't yelled at her in 12 hours. But it's by faith. It's by faith. The grace of God does not lead a man to sin. The grace of God is the victory over sin. Jesus Christ and him crucified is the grace of God. The grace of God is receiving what we don't deserve. We don't deserve the Son of God to come down here and die for us. I didn't deserve it. The mercy of God is not receiving what we do deserve. So let me say that again. The grace of God is receiving what we don't deserve from God. And the mercy of God is not receiving the just punishment I do deserve. So the grace and mercy of God is upon me, even, God forbid, while I'm sinning. Don't get nervous. Religious people get nervous on this point. No, really, you've got to understand this. You've got to take the Word of God at face value. You've got to let the Holy Spirit show you this. Amen. That's why I asked you who sinned in the last 2 days and nobody could raise their hand. Mm-hmm. You don't lose your salvation when you sin. If you practice sin, right. Now we're talking about a different animal here. Right. But when sin takes you over, Galatians 6:1, which I don't know if we're going to get to, but when you're overtaken by a sin, like I yelled at her, it took me by surprise. Didn't want to do it. I didn't set out to do it. Wait till she gets home. Boy. No. Well, sometimes it's like that. But the grace of God gave us Christ and Him crucified. That's the grace of God. Okay. Now, back to verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Okay, remember in the garden? Let's go there real quick. Keep your finger in Galatians and go to Genesis 3:15. We're talking the seed now. Glory to God. This isn't a new thing. God didn't wake up one day and say, well, I think, this is planned before the foundation of the world. His foreknowledge is not His perfect will. I mean, how do I want to say that? He knows it's going to happen. But that's not His perfect will. Verse 15 says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. Capital S, if you want to go to the New King James. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Hallelujah. We're talking about the same seed back in Galatians 3:16. That seed is Christ. That seed is Christ. That's who the promise was made. That's who Abraham believed. Amen? So you got that? Because it's going to be important in two more scriptures. The seed is Christ. All right? Verse 17. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, talking about the Ten Commandments. Listen, the Ten Commandments are from God. The Ten Commandments are holy. The Ten Commandments are righteous. The Ten Commandments are from God. But the Ten Commandments are not for the Christian. That's right. We can't keep them. Amen. The first time the word law was used, the theologians have this law first mentioned. And the first time the word law was used in the New Testament was in Matthew. And I believe it's chapter 5. And look what it says. No, it may not be Matthew chapter 5. I found it this morning. What is it? 5:17? Matthew 5:17. Do you not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets? I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus fulfilled the law for us. The law is holy. The law is righteous. But we are perfect law keepers. Now this law first mentioned that they have is very important whenever a word is used for the first time and how it's connected. And the first time the Holy Spirit uses the word law in the New Testament is connected with the fulfillment of the law. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm a perfect law keeper if my faith is in Christ. Yes. We're talking about liberty in Christ, not going back and being yoked to the yoke of bondage, going yoked back to law. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. There's a different yoke. Because my burden is light and my yoke is easy, or vice versa. Amen? I want to be yoked to Christ, not to law. Law of any kind, anything, any custom, anything at all, nothing. Only Christ. Anything other than Christ and Him crucified. Anything else that we put our faith in, it becomes a law. Anything. And we got to be very careful with that. So glory to God that He fulfilled the law for us. Hallelujah. Back to Galatians 3:17. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant. Okay. It cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of none effect. Now he's going to start telling us, I added the law. We're going to hear it in a minute. He gave us the law, but it doesn't change the covenant. The covenant's still there by promise for all those who believe. Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness for all those who believe. This covenant that we are entered into with God is not by law. It's by faith alone. Okay? So we're straining towards Galatians 5:1. That's why he wants us to stand fast in the liberty in which Christ has made us free and to not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So verse 17 says, this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, 430 years after Abraham, is everybody with me?
Yes.
Cannot annul the covenant. When I give you the Ten Commandments, brothers and sisters, it doesn't take away the covenant of promise. It doesn't change the promise I made to Abraham and his seed. Doesn't change it. It doesn't change it. It's got a purpose, and we're going to see it in a minute. That it should make the promise of none effect. Verse 18. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise. Well, that makes sense to me. If the inheritance is of the law, it's no longer a promise. Amen? That word inheritance means divine salvation, considered both by promise and already bestowed. In other words, you can expect it and you can have it. It's designated as an inheritance in the New Testament as long as man takes possession of it by faith. I'm reading out of a theologian. But the word in the Greek means divine salvation, considered both by promise and already bestowed, is designated as an inheritance in the New Testament as long as man takes possession of it. You know, if you don't receive the inheritance, you don't take possession of it. Okay, verse 19. Well, let me finish. God gave it to Abraham by promise. All right, verse 19, okay? This is the verse that the Lord has been dealing with me for quite a while, and it's like came to me, okay? What purpose then does the law serve? Okay, here we go. The Apostle Paul always likes to use these rhetorical questions, these questions to give us the answer. Amen? God uses people in certain ways, and that's how he used the Apostle Paul throughout all his epistles. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions. The law was added to the covenant, to the promise of righteousness by faith. Now hear me. The law, the Ten Commandments, was added because of our transgressions. What are the transgressions? Well, for years I thought it was sins. And it really is sins, but that's not what he's talking about here. The transgression of the covenant. They were transgressing the covenant. Abraham was given righteousness by faith alone, by promise alone, and it was passed down to one after another, all the way to the children of Israel in Egyptian bondage. Righteousness by faith, delivered by the blood out of Egypt. They get to the Red Sea. They start complaining. They don't trust him. They don't believe him. He wants them to believe him. God wants him to trust him. But they're not. They're not believing him. Are you with me? God tells them in Exodus, tells Moses, you tell the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. If you don't stand still, you're not going to see the salvation. And then he tells Moses, take your rod, the wooden rod, a type of the cross, and hold it over the Red Sea. Not the blue or green sea, the Red Sea. Showing them the cross, the way to victory, his way, the covenant by promise that the Messiah would come. And then when he held the rod over the Red Sea, an east wind came, the Holy Spirit came, and divided the waters, and they stood up and they went across on dry ground. All the time showing them the covenant. Not giving them law. Doesn't want to give them law. Hasn't given them law yet. Doesn't want to give us law. But the law was added because of transgressions. Sins and transgressions are two different things. Transgression in the Greek is parabus. Okay? Transgression. In this case, transgressions, because they were doing all kinds of things. It's the word parasis. And it means violate a command. It was added to the covenant of promise of righteousness by faith because of the transgression, because they violated a command. The law hadn't been given yet. He's given the law now. They had been violating the command, and a disregard or breach of a definite ratified contract. All right? This contract between God and man was a ratified, it was really, in the Strong's they say a ratified law, a contract between God and man, that you could be righteous by faith if you believe me. But if you don't believe me, we've got a problem. You're out from under the covenant. You've transgressed the covenant. So the law was added because of transgressions. And I taught for years that it was added because of sins. And it's true that transgressing the covenant is a sin. But the transgressions here were over and over. Go to Psalm 78. And starting in verse 8, well, let's start in verse 9, Matt. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. I'm sorry. Psalm 78:9. Start in Psalm 78:9. Let's go again. Is everyone there?
Yes.
Why was the law added? This is why the law was added. Because the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things he did in their sight, of sight of the fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the water stand up like a heap. In the daytime, also, he led them with the cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness. He gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. That was the sin. They were rebelling. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to do? We should have died in Egypt. No law had been given yet. Verse 17. They sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their heart by asking for their food of fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. Verse 22, because they did not believe in God. And they did not trust his salvation. That's why the law was added. Back to Galatians 3:19. The law was added because of our transgressions, because of our going out from under the covenant. Now, let's put it in modern time. Let's talk about me. Before I was saved, or you, before you were saved. I can be good enough. But the Ten Commandments said I couldn't. I'll build an idol. I'll have carved and engraved images like millions of people in the world today. Billions of people. But when the law was added, it showed me not only that that was a sin against God, the only God, but that I now need a redeemer. You see, when Amos stole Jeremiah's chicken, he knew he was stealing. But now with the Ten Commandments given, now he knows he's sinning against God. Now I got a bigger problem. I can handle Jeremiah, but now I'm sinning against God. I need a redeemer. So the law was given in the wilderness. The Ten Commandments were given to show us we're transgressing the covenant, we're going out from under the covenant and going about it another way, and now I got a problem, I need a redeemer. I thought I was pretty good. But the law said no, because you stole when you were 5 years old, you took that candy bar. And I got in trouble with the store. But now I'm in trouble with God because it says thou shalt not steal. Or I coveted, or I bared false witness and I lied. Now I'm lying against the holy God. Now I'm transgressing the covenant by promise. Now I know that I need a redeemer. That's why the law was given. We already know we're sinning. But the sin of transgressing the covenant is why the law was given. He didn't want to give the law. He could have given the law at any point throughout the hundreds and hundreds of years before Mount Sinai. God does not want us to have to... He did not want to give us the law to show us to believe him. That's the heart of God. He just wants simple faith. Simple faith. Now, watch this. So it was added because of our transgressions, because of the transgressions, until, okay, a specific period of time, until the seed would come. That seed is Jesus. Now Jesus came into my heart. Jesus came into my life. Jesus changed me, and I'm no longer under law because now the law's done its job. Thank God for the law. I thank God that the law killed me. I needed to die.
Yes, yes.
But I don't want to go back and die again. If I go back to the law, I got to die all over again. I mean, I die every day, of course. per the scripture that says that we must deny ourselves every day. But the law will separate me. Okay. Back up two pages and go to Galatians 2:18. This is the Apostle Paul's personal testimony. Actually, he's talking to Peter right here. And he says, "For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." If I go back to the law, I'm transgressing the covenant. The new and better covenant of Christ and Him crucified that the Apostle Paul and we are under. If we go back to a law of any description, any kind, especially the Ten Commandments, then we're transgressing the covenant. He says in verse 19, "For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God." The law killed me. Thank God it killed me. I wanted it to kill me. It did its job. I, through the law, died to the law. I'm dead to the law. We need to be dead to the law. Because if we're not dead to the law, we can't be alive by faith. We can't have the resurrected abundant life. Because the covenant is by faith. It's by faith in one thing. The thing that we've all learned here from Brother Swagger. And in the last couple weeks, the program has been tremendous. In the mornings, I've been watching it. And Romans 3:27 that I've been teaching for 5 years came alive a week and a half ago. It's the law of faith. It's a law of faith. That's the only law. Well, there's a few laws. I guess there's seven. But that's the law that we need to live by.
Amen on that.
The law of faith. We're going to take a break in 1 minute. Let's finish Galatians 3:19. So what purpose does the law serve? It was added because of our transgressions, because of our going out from under the covenant, until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one, talking about Moses. Verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. The law is not against the promises of God. The law was added to the promises of God to show us we need the promise of God.
Amen.
It's not against the promise of God. It came from God. You know, God created us. God made a way, and God gave us the law. God has done it all. The same God. But if we don't understand the purpose of the law, then we're going to go back to law. God forbid, for if there had been a law given which surely could have given righteousness, then it would have been by the law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
The law does not give us righteousness. The law shows us that we've transgressed the covenant, that I'm an unbeliever. God has made a way, and I'm an unbeliever, and the law showed me that I'm a sinner. The law showed me that I have not done it God's way, and that I need a redeemer.
Amen.
And the law killed me, and now if I rebuild those things, I make myself a transgressor. If I rebuild those things, which I destroyed, which I separated from, that word destroyed means. If I've been separated from the law, I'm dead to the law. If I go back to law in any area of my life, then I'm making myself a transgressor of that covenant. And I'm not going to be able to stand fast in the liberty. I'm going to be yoked again with the bondage.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for this time already, Lord. We thank you for what you're showing us, God, and we want the victory side of this thing to come out clear today. We want to walk out of here not like we came, but changed by the power of the Word of God, changed by the Holy Spirit as you show us the true way, the covenant of promise, the covenant of your Son Jesus ratified on the cross, Lord God, that we could live by faith alone and not by law. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, 10 minutes, please.